In continuation of talking about enslavement and freedom, we're going to point out some indicators that we can use that immediately indicate to us that we are enslaved. And this is going to be vitally helpful in us catching ourselves in moments when we slip into enslavement because it's so natural to us. And it requires so much effort to move ourselves to a space of freedom. So these indicators can be triggers for us to remind us. And so we're going to discuss some of the most common unhealthy behaviors so we can understand how they come from a perspective of beginning without. Negative unhealthy behaviors are very telling. Once we understand them, we can use them as indicators that we are engaging with the situation from a biased and unhealthy perspective. Unhealthy behaviors are alarms that we need to do the checking into reality exercise. So when we catch ourselves with these unhealthy behaviors, it's like an alarm going off that will hopefully remind us we need to do that exercise quickly or speak with a friend who has a healthy perspective to realign us in what's going on. You see, even our unhealthy behaviors can ultimately serve us, and that's very powerful. So we can use our unhealthy behaviors to help us become better people. The first classic is anger. Let's talk about one of the most common unhealthy behaviors. Anger actually shows up in different levels of strength. So there is, I'm going to describe the three levels with these words. There's disappointment, which is a very soft form of anger. There's frustration, and then there's anger. All three of these are different levels of anger. Disappointment is a mild form of anger. Frustration is a more escalated form of anger. And anger is as we know it. It's anger. Anger in all its forms, it makes no difference how light or strong, is someone simply stating that they are not accepting what is. It is as if someone is trying to force things to be the way they want it by intimidating others with their anger. It's like complete denial. It's the ultimate of hiding. It is also a form of someone desperately trying to make the issue about them when it should really be about something or someone else. It is one of the most destructive forms of behavior that we use. It is also one of the first signs that we live as a victim. Because that means that the people and circumstances around me are what determine my emotional state. Many people feel that their anger is what fuels many of their accomplishments. But the truth is that they're confusing anger with passion. When we are passionate, we are focused on what needs to be done. When we are angry, we make the focus about ourselves. When someone is angry, they are being destructive, destructive to both themselves and to those around them. We must remember a very simple rule. When I am angry, I am wrong. We have to be very clear about this. This is the reason why Maimonides, when discussing anger, writes that one should stay as far away from anger as possible. When one truly ingrains the belief of divine providence into their perspective, their anger is greatly minimized because they begin to accept the things that happen to them in life and stop protesting them. Consider this. If someone were to cheat me out of $500, there's a good chance I would be very angry at them. If someone were to cheat you out of $500, my sense of justice would tell me how wrong that is, but I suspect that my level of anger would be much lower. The reason is simple. When something happens to me, it is personal, and anger is my unhealthy response to protect myself. When something happens to you, it is not personal for me. It doesn't question my worthiness or the fear of people taking advantage of me. It's similar to the way someone once described to me the difference between minor surgery and major surgery. This was said in jest. Minor surgery is a surgery that you are having, and major surgery is a surgery that I am having. You get the point. When we stop responding to things through the filter of our subjective self, we no longer have any need to get angry. Think of this scenario. A team of commandos are rappelling from a helicopter into the middle of an enemy town full of terrorists. They need to break into a home and capture a terrorist in this very dangerous environment. Many unknowns exist around them during this mission. When something unexpected happens during the mission, do you think it would be wise for one of the commandos to get angry? Of course not. They have to remain sharp and clear-headed throughout the mission. When we get angry, we say and do things which we shouldn't. Why? Because we have lost our clarity of the situation and have personalized the issue that we're dealing with. So we become more focused on ourselves than the reality around us. Now, look at yourself as a commando, who is given a life mission. Every time you or I get angry, we can no longer remain focused on our mission. We're too busy trying to defend ourselves from what's going on. Let's use a practical example. When my child comes out of bed for the third time and I get angry, I must ask myself why I am angry. It's an indicator that things are off. So I ask myself, whoa, why did I just get angry? The event is my child coming out of bed and interrupting what I'm doing. My judgment is that my child is taking away my peace and relaxation. My feeling is anger. My reaction is that I yell at my child. Perhaps without realizing it, I am trying to force my child not to come out of bed again by instilling within him the fear of my anger. Who am I thinking about? Myself. If I were thinking about my child, then I would ask my child, why are you out of bed again when I told you not to come out? The tone of this question would not be with anger, but more matter of fact. If the child has a legitimate reason, we deal with it. If the child gives an unacceptable answer, I would tell my child to get back into bed and perhaps attach a consequence to their coming out again. That is a clear-headed way of dealing with the reality at hand instead of getting lost in my own reality and then actually damaging my relationship with my child. A second common unhealthy behavior that can serve as a phenomenal trigger for us to know that we are living out of self-orientation instead of soul orientation, thinking about ourselves instead of thinking about the clear objective reality. This other unhealthy behavior is judgments. I want to clarify that there's a big difference between making an observation and making a judgment. It's the exact same difference between passion and anger. An observation is when I simply observe the facts. A judgment is when I attach my own interpretation of the facts to the event. We have a very strong tendency of judging, which is an outgrowth of beginning without. Judgment always explains why the circumstances or the people are the problem. It's very defensive to judge. When we lose the need to blame, we stop judging. We simply learn what the facts are and ask ourselves, what is our responsibility in this situation? Reaching such a point, which is what this course is all about, is extremely powerful for ourselves and for all of the people in our lives when we can learn to stop judging. Because once we stop judging, we can actually begin unconditionally loving and accepting others. We don't look at everything that they do from a point of judgment, which they feel, but instead we look at it from a point of reality. And what can we do about this? Can we help the situation? Can we help the person? Can we guide them for future, etc.? But when it's done without judgment, it's not personal. The person feels accepted while we are working with them. So the third trigger that can remind us that we are living very unhealthily, from a very unhealthy place, is guilt. Guilt is another feeling which is often glorified as an indication that I am sensitive to my wrongdoings. So we actually glorify guilt when guilt actually is a very negative and destructive thing. Often we feel good that we're feeling guilty. It's a sign that I have a moral conscience, we say. Actually, guilt is what prevents us from being productive and moving forward. Let me define the word guilt as being that people use this word, being that people use this word in different ways with different meanings. I want to give a definition to the word so you understand how I'm using the word guilt. When I say guilt, I mean when we identify with something that we have done and we let that action define us. So the key here is guilt is when we let an action define who we are. For example, we will think or say, I am such a bad person because of what I did. Such is the response of someone who is self-conscious and makes their wrongdoing all about themselves and not the actual issue. This feeling of guilt also makes us feel as if we are being responsible. So we're feeling good about the guilt. We feel like we're being responsible for what we've done wrong because we are feeling bad about ourselves. What this feeling of guilt actually does to us is keeps us in a negative place and removes our energy, leaving us with little ability to take the courageous steps necessary to fix what we've done wrong. Such as checking into reality exercise, which actually is productive and helps us deal with the reality and correct it. When we can accept that we are not perfect, because none of us are perfect, that we make mistakes, and some of them may be a little bit more serious, and that these big mistakes can have significant implications, then we can move forward with our mistakes. We don't hold ourselves to a standard of perfection. We only hold ourselves to a standard of moving to a better place every single day. Now we're not condemning ourselves, but rather being honest that we made a terrible mistake. We ask ourselves what we can do to fix the damage and what we can do to make this better in the future. We must learn to remain focused on the matter at hand and not get lost in ourselves. And that's what guilt is, getting lost in ourselves. That's what all of these behaviors are. They're getting lost in our own selves and making it about us instead of dealing with the reality of the situation to improve it. I want to point out again that when we first begin practicing the checking into reality exercise to differentiate between the reality and our perception of reality, we will often be confronted with confusion. You may convince yourself, as I often do, that the reason why you are really upset is because when you see bad behavior, it makes you upset. Your moral gene can't handle it. Here's a very simple litmus test to know when your feelings are distorting the reality as opposed to you seeing reality for what it is. Whenever we resist reality, indicated by a state of anger, judgment, or guilt, the three indicators, we can be sure that our self-orientation and bias is so strong that our emotional reaction is about us and not about the event. It's that simple. Do you want to know when you're not in touch with reality? You can know it immediately if you are angry, if you are judging. In all of these types of scenarios, if you're angry or you're judging or you're feeling guilty, you know immediately that you're caught up in your own bias, what this all says about me. But it has nothing to do with reality. Let's review everything we learned in this module. True freedom is not being afforded the right to live as you believe. You can live in a free country which affords you the right to live as you believe, but that doesn't actually make you free. It only gives you the opportunity to choose to be free. It is having the inner strength to take on the responsibilities that your values demand of you. As long as we remain a victim to the people and circumstances around us, it is impossible for us to experience freedom. And this is because we are too busy trying to accommodate the expectations of the people and the things we depend on in place of dedicating ourselves to our values. This is why learning to accept the circumstances and people in our life is transformative. As long as we're protesting them, we are living in denial and not in the position to respond to them. Once we accept the situation or the person for who they are, even though that may not be so beautiful, we can start working on how to respond to them. We also learned that three behaviors always serve as clear indicators that we are enslaved to others. They are anger, judgment, and guilt. All three of these behaviors are destructive.